Well, hello and welcome back to the Sweet Spot, your go-to golf tipping show brought to you by The Racing Post. It's Jack Reeve, it's Steve Palmer to look back on a couple of cracking tournaments last week in the shape of the Dubai Invitational and the Sony Open in Hawaii. Two events to look forward to this time round. We've got the American Express and we remain in Dubai for the Desert Classic. Steve Palmer, tipping wise, a week that we maybe might try and pass over. Not all bad, but we've had better. But from an entertainment perspective, 2024 has got off to a cracking start.
Yeah, I'd say the snooker was the highlight, really. Ronnie O'Sullivan doing the business in the Masters, but the golf was less spectacular, that's for sure. I was just relieved to get something back in the end. I mean, Yannick Paul finished tied eighth. I had Yannick Paul eight places, and that looked so solid for 71 holes. And then he put two balls in the water on the 72nd hole. And I was thinking, oh, blimey, I'm not going to get anything. And then fortunately, Thorbjørn Olafsson followed him into the water. So those two ended up tying for eighth place. So I was relieved to get something back from the Dubai Invitational. And then in the Sony, some firms were going 10 places in the Sony last week. And I bet with a firm that was going 10 places, 5th to 10. And Harris English miraculously managed a tie for 10th with two other players. So I was just scraping bits and bobs. But yeah, you're right. Unsatisfactory week. We hope for much better this week.
Well, there's been huge changes in the life of Steve Palmer over the last couple of months / years. We've had you refusing to get your knickers in a twist, which I think is going well. And, you know, you used to be one of the most aggressive punters from a golf perspective, usually just playing win only. And now you're enjoying these extra places that so many firms are offering. I think that's a good, valuable lesson for our listeners.
You're absolutely right. I mean, we get a lot of commentators asking about that balance between taking better prices or more place terms. And there is no easy answer to that. It comes down to instincts. But as I got older, I definitely tried to take more places and the smaller price. I like to get at least eight places on my side now, and I'm glad I did at the weekend. But yeah, my knickers are all right. Slight ruffling when Yannick Paul hit that second ball in the water on the 72nd hole. That was a test of my knickers, but yeah, they've come through okay. I don't want too much more of that though, because they may get ruffled.
Good. Well, we're a couple of weeks into 2024 now. We're still going strong. Let's talk about the Dubai Invitational then, Steve. It was a new tournament. It was thoroughly enjoyable. It was won by Tommy Fleetwood. Fleetwood was the winner. It will probably be the headlines will be surrounding Rory McIlroy, who looked for the majority of the week like the winner. And after, you know, quadruple bogeys, three putts from 2 feet, he still found a way to get himself in front, going down 18, and then still just can't cross the line. I know certainly that, you know, former presenter of the Sweet Spot, Bruce Millington, used to hate the term bottle, didn't he? And I think that's a fair assessment. But for those who would have been on Rory at a short price, it must be hugely frustrating.
Yeah. He went off at 5-2, the general 5-2 favourite, and just course management errors mainly, wasn't it? And a few bad swings, a few bad putts. Yeah, we mentioned there's a lot of water at Dubai Creek. You know, it's not a typical desert track, and he found a lot of water, didn't he? Two balls in the water at the par 3 eighth in round two, quadruple bogey, as you mentioned. He hooked an iron off the tee into the water at the par 4 sixth on Sunday. Yeah, it was a horrible shot. And then he did the same as Yannick Paul at the 72nd hole, hooked a drive into the water. You saw Tommy Fleetwood's caddy. I thought it was highly amusing. Tommy Fleetwood's caddy, as it was heading towards the crowd, wasn't it? Heading towards the crowd, it was going to block it from going in the water. And Tommy Fleetwood's caddy going, get out of the bloody way. And they did get out of the way, and then it went flying in the water. But Rory had a smile on his face afterwards, though, which is, might have wound up some of his backers because he.
Well, I was going to mention that, Steve. It reminded me very much of when I went to Live Orlando last year, and we were on a couple of players and it was looking juicy at times, and then a couple of missed putts went aside, and they were just laughing it off, and I thought, do you really care as much as I do about this? And when Rory was sort of hugging Tommy Fleetwood, I was like, you've just lost a tournament that was in your hands. It was very strange.
Yeah, I mean, it just goes to show that it's probably almost certainly not a choke, is it, as you alluded to, because he didn't really care whether he won by the looks at things. I mean, it is only the Dubai Invitational. And he said after his Thursday 62, how surprised he was to make that score. He said he felt plenty of rust early in the week in practice. And then he put all those late blunders down on Sunday to it being his first start of the year. So, you know, he was very forgiving on himself. I don't think he'll be as forgiving this week, nowhere near as forgiving this week if he makes those same mistakes again. I think he just saw that as a pipe opener. You know, he'll expect to play much better this week.
But, you know, for all the mistakes that Rory made, Fleetwood had to get it won. It was a lovely putt on 18. He played some really solid golf. And for a man that strikes the ball as well as Tommy Fleetwood, it's nice to see him, you know, get a trophy in the cabinet.
Yeah, yeah, particularly at home now. Yeah, he's a Dubai resident, isn't he? And, you know, that did come into play last week. He drifted to 8-1. You know, drifted to 8-1 despite him being a Dubai resident. You know, he knows Dubai Creek better than most of last week's field. But the century was so off-putting, wasn't it? You know, the century the previous week, he went to Hawaii, finished 47th of 59 in the century. And then he had that trek from Hawaii to Dubai. I think, had he not played in the century, I think a lot more punters would have had a winner last week and back Fleetwood. But I just think most people were put off by the century.
You obviously, we were on Yannick Paul, Steve. He's a bright talent, isn't he, Yannick Paul? I mean, after sort of round one and two, I was thinking, oh, hello, it might be a little January treat on the horizon here. You know, he fell away a little bit, but certainly one to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I was happy with the bet for the duration and just the 72nd. Oh, he's such a solid ball striker, you know, putting is a weakness. Yeah, I don't have any regrets about that investment. We'll keep an eye on Yannick Paul.
Good. OK, well, we remain in Dubai for this week. We'll get on to the Desert Classic preview later on in the show. There was another tournament. It was the Sony Open in Hawaii. It was won by Grayson Murray. Steve, so far the PGA Tour season, the story of reformed characters. Of course, Grayson Murray has had his troubles off the course in recent years. Another, you know, fine winner.
He's had a lot of troubles off the course. Yeah, yeah. Not just with the you know, the demon drink. I mean, he went off 400-1 last week, which is pretty staggering when you consider he won a Korn Ferry Tour event in the middle of September last year. He won twice on the Korn Ferry Tour last year. So he deserved more respect than 400-1 for the Sony. But, you know, most punters had him down as too wild a character to consider. I certainly did. You know, some of his antics through the years have been crazy. But yeah, as you say, Chris Kirk, reformed alcoholic. Grayson Murray doesn't call himself a reformed alcoholic, but he spoke in his media conference about he put the drink down. He put the drink down 8 months ago, and he's lifted 3 trophies since then. So since he's been, you know, entirely sober, he's lifted 3 trophies. We've had back-to-back winners on the PGA Tour from, you know, reformed drinkers. He went into rehab. Murray went into rehab for a month to sort out his drinking. He said him and Kirk, he is an amazing start to the PGA Tour season, because him and Kirk used to be old drinking buddies, you know, used to meet up at golf tournaments and, you know, have a heavy session together. And, you know, those days are long gone now. Yeah, I think, you know, the PGA Tour is quite amusing in some respects. The PGA Tour is struggling for sponsors. I mean, you can rule out all the beer companies now, can't you? I mean, the Budweiser Open is on the back burner because the PGA Tour has become this advert for sobriety. So
I guess there could be some alcohol-free sponsorships. I mean, I'm doing Dry January. Heineken 0% is a lovely drop.
Isn't there, brilliant. Everyone's doing that, as we discussed last week. Isn't there one called Lucky Saint? Maybe we'll
Lucky
get the
Saint, yeah.
Lucky Saint's very popular. I've heard people going on about that. So maybe we'll get the Lucky Saint Open on the PGA Tour.
That's got a ring to it, actually.
It's a great advert for sobriety. I mean, as I say, I've been doing Wet January. You've been doing Dry January. It sounds like you're on the winning team.
Well, I'm not sure about that. It was, of course, a playoff that got it done for Murray against Bradley and Hun An. Just an exciting finish to the tournament, wasn't it?
Well, it's very interesting that Bai Hung Hun An was in there. I think I added another Hun in there. I'm a bit of a stutter to it. Bai Hung Hun An. Yeah, he missed a short putt to prolong the playoff, and putting has become such a bugbear for An through the years. Yeah, he made such a promising start to his career, didn't he? He won the US Amateur Championship at the age of 17. Do you remember when he won the BMW PGA at Wentworth by 100 shots?
Yes, yes.
2015, I believe.
Was that long ago?
Yeah. He's 32 now, I think. I think he's 32.
Oh, I still associate him as a young, up-and-coming whippersnapper.
He's had years of putting nightmares. And yeah, it's such a shame because, yeah, the old broom man, there's a few encouraging signs for Ann fans. And, yeah, when he missed that tilly, and it's who he lost to as well, which would have stung, because I mentioned Grayson Murray used to be a lunatic. Now he's a reformed drinker. He's in love with Jesus Christ. His wife, have they got married yet? They're getting married. His bride to be is a lover of Jesus Christ. He's thrown himself into Jesus Christ probably to impress his girlfriend a little bit more, his fiance. So he's gone full circle. But in the olden days when he was drinking loads, he was on Twitter. Yeah, and drinking and Twitter is a bad combination. And him and Benny Ann, you might not remember this, used to have they had a fierce Twitter spat. It was basically Grayson Murray against Benny Ann and Thomas Peters and a few others, because Grayson Murray was just mocking the European tour and saying it's a lot of crap. And yeah, you if you're on European tour, you're rubbish. Benny Ann was firing back. Thomas Peters was firing back. And so the fact that Benny Ann and Grayson Murray, Benny Ann probably still hates Grayson Murray. Grayson Murray might be more forgiving now. He's a man of God. I'm not sure. But it was just an added layer that no one was really talking about. And I could see Benny Ann's face. He thought, blimmin' heck, I've now lost to, once Murray put that big long putt in, then Benny Ann thought, if I miss this, I've lost to Grayson Murray and he can get me on the Twitter. Thankfully for Benny.
Do you ever miss your days of being on Twitter?
No, not at all. I just think it's a waste of valuable life. I mean, I waste enough of my life sitting in a blimmin' shed writing about golf, didn't I? So I don't want to waste any. As soon as I get out the shed, the last thing I want to do is then go stare at another screen and start going, that the noise you make when you... when you're on there
typing away,
Norwich City, Norwich City, sack the manager. It's a waste of time, mate.
There we go. I'm gonna have to assess my life choices after this, aren't I?
sorry I did the voice. I wasn't doing your voice there. I was just doing a voice of someone who spends too much time on Twitter.
No, very, very fair assessment, Steve. on that bombshell, should we get into the previews for this week?
I think we should. We've gone on a bit too long there, haven't we?
Yeah, well, as we sit in the very cold United Kingdom, Steve's in his cold shed down in Weymouth. Let's jet over to Emirates Golf Club for the Dubai Desert Classic. Steve, we know all about this track, but still love hearing you talk about it. The sun, the blue skies. Oh, what a place to be. Where are we this week?
Well, you're a regular at this track, I believe, aren't you? You hang out with Adrian Naus there, don't you?
I did, actually.
One of your practice partners. I am very jealous of that. Yeah, Emirates Golf Club, Dubai, United Arab Emirates, 7,428 yards, par 72, four par fives. It's been used for the Desert Classic since 1989, apart from a two-year switch to Dubai Creek, where we were at last week, 1999 and 2000. Ignore that course form for this week. It's a low scoring track, this 19 under par one last year. The back nine is the scoring half, three par fives on the back. The greens are relatively flat, sunny and warm weather throughout, light to moderate breezes. Big hitters will make merry this week. Those par fives are the key to success. Seven of the last 11 Dubai Desert Classic winners finished in the top 10 of the driving distance stats. I think you want to be backing big hitters who are going to murder those par fives. 132 going to post.
Okay, well, let's take a look at the top of the market for the Dubai Desert Classic. Three-time winner Rory McIlroy, your favourite, 10-3 at time of recording. Tyrrell Hatton, 10s. Tommy Fleetwood, last week's winner, 11-1. Brian Harman, Steve backed him out in Hawaii last week, 16-1. Cameron Young, 20s. Joachim Niemann, 22-1 alongside Adam Scott. Bigger the rest. Steve, a familiar favourite here. How many selections for the Desert Classic?
Three.
I thought you were lining up for a four. You've had enough swigs of your Diet Coke to lubricate those vocal cords. Three selections. Who's the main pick?
Nikolai Hogger, 22-1, who was a hero for us in Dubai in November when he won the DP World Tour Championship. I see more glory in Dubai for the Great Dane on Sunday. He's yet to sparkle in his two previous visits to the Emirates, but that's why we can access such a healthy price, 22-1. Glorious. I think it's an anomaly, that record at the Emirates. I think over time, Nikolai will build a great record at this course. It's a big hitter's playground. It's a driver's course. There aren't many better drivers on the circuit than Nikolai Hogarth. Driving well, clearly the key to success at the Emirates. Look at the last three winners, for example. Paul Casey, Victor Hovland, Rory McIlroy. Only one of those three is in this week's field. Rory McIlroy obviously has a fantastic chance of victory, but at the odds, I'd much rather take Nikolai Hogarth. All gravy for Nikolai. He's got a PGA Tour card in his pocket. He'll start winning stateside dollar again soon enough. For now, he's looking for a Rolex Series bonus check this week. He'll approach this assignment without fear. He'll attack the course. I think he'll make a bundle of birdies. Last week, there was some rust in the system. Yeah, the Dubai Invitational, an ideal warm-up. It's a 20-minute drive down the road from Dubai Creek to the Emirates. Yeah, I expect an improved performance on a much more suitable course. Yeah, we talked about last week's course. Yeah, tight and fiddly in comparison to the Emirates. Hoggar can open his shoulders this week. Show why he's one of the most exciting youngsters in the sport. It will be a fourth DP World Tour title at the age of 22. Forget how young these twins are. You know, it'd be his fourth one. It'd be his third one in the United Arab Emirates, because he won in the Ras Al Khaimah as well, didn't he? Mm.
The victory you mentioned there, Steve, it impressed. I forget as well. He's so young. It impressed me so much that, because there were a couple of times, I think on the Saturday, wasn't there, in that event, where you went, oh, maybe he's kind of given it away, slipped back a little bit. And the maturity he showed on that Sunday, I thought was mightily impressive. And you know, that's such a key attribute.
Yeah, and his ball striking was so amazing. He could afford to miss a couple of tiddlers here and there, and it didn't matter, didn't it? I mean, we're talking about a supreme ball striker here. And I think the weather forecast for this week is perfect. He can just unload that glorious power. I see. Yeah, there'll probably be a couple of mishaps along the way. We might have a double bogey here, double bogey there. But I think we're going to get so many birdies that we'll get the job done.
Really excited for that. Nicolai Højgaard, Steve Palmer's main selection, 22-1. I think he was around about that price, maybe a little bit bigger when we backed him in November when he got over the line. Okay, two more to go for this one. Who's next?
Laurie Kanter, 45-1 best now, I think. He opened up at 66-1. Glorious price. I was so excited. He's been well back, but I still think anything better than 33-1 or bigger, get involved. We're talking about a DP World Tour maiden. He's let a few chances slip through the years, but I think he's a much more confident chap now than the betting suggests. You know, since his LIV Golf adventures, he's a changed man for me. He's a rich man now. You know, let's not put too fine a point on it. Let's cut to the chase. He's a rich man and therefore more assured. He won more than $5 million playing on the LIV circuit. You know, it's just easy money he's picked up. He won $5 million to bolster all his other career earnings from elsewhere. He's lost his place on LIV now, but, you know, they're not going to take his money away. The money's in the bank, and he can approach the future with swagger. I think he'll be more assured in contention from now on, because he's not bothered about money. You know, it's going to take pressure off you. And this week is at a course which suits him down to the ground. You know, he's one of the best drivers in the business, is Kanter. He fell in love with the Emirates on his first visit in 2021. He was fourth in the 2021 Dubai Desert Classic. He previously finished fifth in the 2020 DP World Tour Championship in Dubai. And before Christmas, he was playing fantastic. If he carries his pre-Christmas form to the Emirates, I think he's a surefire contender. He was fourth in the Australian Open in the first week of December. Then he was runner-up in the Mauritius Open. And this is the icing on the cake. It's a huge bit of icing, this, actually. This is not just a little sprinkling. My wife was telling me how much she hates me doing that noise, so I do it a bit more. I was going to do it again.
I bet your kids love when you do that, don't they?
Oh, they don't watch Sweet Spot. The wife occasionally watches it, and she did last week, and she said how much she hated that noise, so that's just a red rag
was
to a ball.
Was that her only feedback?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, red rag to a ball, that. I'm going to do it. I'm so tempted to do it again, but I might upset other people.
Well, maybe there's some more icing we can add later on in the show.
Yes. Let's find some more icing later. But this is a huge bit of icing. Laurie Kanter has been living in Dubai since November.
I thought that was a play on LIV Golf then. He is actually residing in there.
He's been residing in Dubai since November, but it's a temporary move. It's just for a few months. Because his house in Bath is being sorted out, you know, home improvements, you know,
how
loads
do you
of money.
Know this stuff?
There's a great podcast that I listen to. Eddie Pepperell does a podcast. Pepperell's podcast. So he obviously, Kanter's got loads of money now, and he's obviously upgrading his Bath base. He loves Bath. He likes going to the rugby and whatnot. So he's not moving to Dubai, but he's been in Dubai since November. So lovely acclimatization. Is that a word? He's nicely acclimatized in Dubai. He didn't get in the Dubai Invitational last week. He wasn't invited to the Dubai Invitational, but that just means extra practice at the Emirates, doesn't it? He's in Dubai. What's he going to do? He's probably got 100 practice rounds in at the Emirates. Practicing in perfect weather. I think Kanter's going to be ultra competitive this week. I don't think he'll be cantering at the start of this race. I think he'll be galloping at the start of this race.
Imagine having so much money, Steve. You sort of maybe getting your toilet replaced in your bathroom, and a bit of retiling done in the kitchen. You go, oh, rather than just not using those rooms for a few months, I'm going to go to Dubai and live there.
Yeah, it's a different world, isn't it? Yeah,
usually when someone gets their kitchen redone, they have to live off sort of microwave meals for a month or so. Just off in Dubai with his live money.
No, you're absolutely right. I've got my sister-in-law who had that. They get an extent. They've had an extension built in their house, and they had to move into an Airbnb for a few weeks to get because it was impossible to live there with young kids and that. So yeah, you're right. They're right. Money can't buy you love. You know, money can't buy you love, but it can make life a lot easier, can't it? And Laurie Kanzer is enjoying himself.
Absolutely. Laurie Kanzer, best price 45-1 at time of recording. Third and final pick for the Desert Classic, Steve.
Richard Mansell, 90-1. My team of top class drivers is completed by Richard Nigel Mansell. You got Hoggar, Kanzer, Mansell. All awesome with the big dog in hand. Mansell, like Kanzer, has seriously contended for a few DP World Tour titles without getting over the line in front. He's such a good ball striker that his supporters just assume it's only a matter of time before he's lifting some silverware. He just needs one good putting week to make him a champion. And the greens here at the Emirates, as I mentioned, very flat greens. There's nothing intimidating about the greens at the Emirates. I think the long game strength of Mansell gives him an excellent chance of success here. He played well in Australia just before Christmas, really enjoyed it. First time he's played down under. And he was 22nd in the Aussie PGA, 21st in the Aussie Open. He had a nice Christmas at home with his new wife. He got married in August. Then he started this year in fine fettle. Dubai Invitational, 4 under par rounds, top of the greens in regulation stats in round 2, tied 14th in the tournament, 8 under par. He finished 51st on his Dubai Desert Classic debut last year, but I'm expecting much, much better this year from the pride of Cannock, the pride of Richard Nigel Mansell, the pride of Cannock.
What do you describe yourself as? What are you the pride of?
Pride of Weymouth would be a bit arrogant, wouldn't it? Steve Claridge, probably the most. Yeah. Steve Claridge, I consider him a Weymouth man. I don't know. I wouldn't like to say.
we'll let the commenters come up with something, Steve. We'll see what they are. See what they can come up with. There we go. Okay, 3 selections for the Desert Classic. We'll reflect on them all come the end of the show. We must talk about Rory and I guess Tyrrell Hatton and Tommy Fleetwood at the top of the market. Tommy won last week. We know all about Hatton, and he's won in he's won in this area before. Rory McIlroy, 3-time winner of this event. What's the reason for not playing at the prices?
Well, Burlington Bertie 100-30 is the price for Rory. And it's much more tempting for me than last week, because his Emirates record is incredible. He's won 3 times here. He never plays badly here. This track suits him so much better than last week's, and he nearly won last week. I can't put people off McIlroy at Burlington Bertie. I'd just rather play my 3 at the prices. I mean, if you've got deep pockets, you could have my 3 and McIlroy. But that's asking a lot from people. Fleetwood, I can happily leave alone. You know, poor Emirates record for a player of his stature. Yeah, the home advantage aspect last week was a serious factor, because he knew Dubai Creek better than most. But the Emirates, everyone knows the Emirates. Most players in this field will know the Emirates. And this is Fleetwood's 3rd week on the spin. Remember, the effects of that Hawaii trip will be felt. Felt now. So McIlroy more tempting than Fleetwood, but I prefer mine at the prices.
Okay, good stuff. Let's move over to the American Express then. This one played across 3 separate courses. Steve, where are we?
We are at the Pete Dye Stadium course at PGA West, the Nick Klaus Tournament course at PGA West, and La Quinta Country Club at La Quinta. So we have a round at each of those tracks. And then the cut is made on Saturday night, and then the cut makers play at the Pete Dye Stadium course on Sunday. All the courses are around 7,100 yards long, all par 72s. We've had this set of courses since 2016, apart from 2021 when La Quinta took a year off. We just had 2 courses that year. So punters should study the form from 2016 onwards. These courses are easy. You've got to pepper pins, putt well. The weather forecast is excellent, as it always is here. No wind at all. It's a pro-am for the first 3 days, so the setup is forgiving. 20-something under par will win it. you know, maybe we'll get to 30 something if someone goes bananas. 156 going to post this week. I have five selections.
Okay, it was of course John Rahm that won this last year. We won't be seeing him now. He's on live. Okay, how many selections did you say, Steve?
We got five. You're right. It's the second time this year that John Rahm's been a PGA Tour defending champion that can't play.
Okay, well, let's take a look through the top of the market. Scotty Scheffler is your favourite, 11-2. Patrick Cantlay, 17-2. Jean Deschauffele, 10-1. Sung Jae-im, 18s. Justin Thomas, 22-1. Tom Kim, 25-1. A competitive top of the field, a really strong field, actually, for this one. Steve, who's your main pick?
Sung Jae-im, 20-1, who made 34 birdies in his 72 holes at the Century the week before last. 9 birdies in round 1, 8 in round 2, 6 in round 3, 11 in round 4. The previous PGA Tour record for a 72-hole event was 32 birdies. And the Amex is a tournament where you need to make loads of birdies. I think Sung Jae is well equipped for this task. He ended last year strongly. 6th in the FedEx St. Jude Championship, 7th in the BMW Championship, 2nd in a Korean Tour event, 12th in the Zozo. Now he's out the blocks like a flash. 5th spot in the Century. He made a few mistakes at but you know, so many birdies. It was a joy to watch. He skipped the Sony Open last week. Yeah, that's freshened. He wants to freshen up for the West Coast swing. You know, that's going to pay off in spades this week. I see him contending strongly for Amex Glory. His form figures in this event are 12, 10, 12, 11, 18. So never outside the top 20. This time, I think he's going to get right in amongst it. The Century, his approach play was excellent. His putting was superb. They're the keys to success this week. So, yeah, I'm all over Sung Jae.
When Sung Jae does get in the groove, he's a delightful player to watch, isn't he? He's so much fun on the golf course.
Underrated, happy at home, major contender. Next best, Eric Cole, 35-1. It's well worth noting. I've got a stat for you, Jack. I know you like a stat. Only one of the last 16 winners of this event was making his first start of the year. So, you know, getting that Christmas rust out your system in Hawaii seems almost essential for Amex success. All five of my selections have already competed this year. Eric Cole has got two spins under his belt. He was 14th in the Century on his debut in the Century the week before last. He closed with a 65 there. Last week, he finished 13th in the Sony Open. He was 10 under par for the weekend. That Hawaii swing is an ideal warm-up for an Amex, which suits him extremely well. You know, some might call this a glorified putting competition. You might remember John Rahm had a fit of pique in 2022 when he was caught swearing on the someone filmed him swearing about the glorified putting competition. Well, yeah, you could call it that. And Cole is a good man to have in those circumstances. You know, he rolls his rock so well. He's the PGA Tour Rookie of the Year. His form figures over the last 4 months are just ridiculously consistent. 4 top fives in his last 7 starts. 6 top 15s in his last 7 starts. He's going to go over the line in front of the PGA Tour soon. This is a golden opportunity. He was 36 on his Amex debut last year. He was ranked 370th in the world going into that. He's world number 38 now.
I never quite understood that argument around sort of the glorified putting, because it's such a big part of the game. Like, there's always going to be courses that suit different, you know, elements of your game, isn't there?
You're right. You're absolutely right. You get a lot of players that get on their high horse and they just think golf, you know, he golfed his ball, and they're not talking about putting it. He golfed his ball. Well, you're still golfing your ball when you're putting it. You know, it's still, you know what I mean? It's still, as you said, it's a key component of the game. If they all just want to play like nearest the pin. Some of them talk as if they want to just change the rules of golf and just make it nearest the pink. We pick up our ball once we're on the green. You know.
Yeah.
Putting's, don't get me started.
No, I won't. Eric Cole, there we go. 3 more to go. Who's next?
JT Poston, 30-1. The postman. I don't know why I'm chuckling. I watched that thing about the post.
Mr. Bates versus the post.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy that?
Ken Bates versus the... Well, I don't know. It's quite sad, wasn't it?
No, I know it was sad, but it was a good kind of expose on the.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wasn't it?
Absolutely. No, I'm glad things are happening. But yeah, the poor people that have committed suicide and you know, have died in the interim, they're not going to get any rewards, are they? But no. Yeah. Don't get me bogged down in that. Yeah, it's quite sad. But yeah, inspiration in other ways. But yeah, hats off to Alan Bates.
I quite like Toby Jones, the chap that played Alan Bates. He's quite good fun, isn't he?
He's fantastic. Yeah, I like him in the Detectorists as well.
That's but, done a lot for post office submasters and metal detectors.
Yeah. Metal detectorists. Yeah. JT Poss. No, I'm sorry, I got bogged down there. He is well in the groove this year as well. Like Cole, he's played in two events. He was fifth in the Century, then sixth in the Sony last week. He closed with a 65 in the Century. He closed with a 61 in the Sony. If the postman can make a faster start in the Amex, then the rest of the field's in trouble. He is confident going into this golf tournament. He's always been an exceptional putter. He'd be really comfortable with reaching this super low total that we know we're going to need this week. He was seventh in this event in 2019 when he was still a PGA Tour maiden. He's since won two PGA Tour titles. He was sixth in the Amex last year. And I think there's a little bit of inspiration to take from Grayson Murray's Sony win. They're both from North Carolina. They grew up competing alongside each other in North Carolina. So maybe we'll get back-to-back North Carolinians in the PGA Tour winners enclosure.
And good, you said you're backing the postman as opposed to backing JT, because huge confusion could then erupt around which JT you're backing.
True dat. Yeah, I don't know whether JT Poston is a reformed alcoholic or anything. I can't throw that into the mix, but he has got some sort of connection with Grayson Murray.
a nice link, Steve. Okay, couple more to go. Who's next?
Yeah, bigger prices. Andrew Putnam. Andrew Putnam, 60-1, another player who is teeing up in his third tournament of the year. Putnam, slow out the gates in the Century, Christmas rust, got better every day, closed with rounds of 67 and 64. So that was a 15-under par Kapalua weekend. Then he finished 10th in the Sony Open last week, closed with a 64. It's reasonable, like with Poston, to expect a faster start in the Amex, a set of courses which set up perfectly for Putnam. He's accurate, typically putts well. He's won once on the PGA Tour, twice on the Korn Ferry Tour. He went to college in California, Pepperdine University. He met his wife in the Golden State. She's a yoga instructor. They may have a trophy to snuggle up with on Sunday night, her Putnam and the yoga instructor.
I wonder, you sort of have the downward dog, don't you, in yoga? I wonder what you do with an Amex trophy. that be called?
Do you do the downward dog, do you? I've never done any yoga.
I think yoga would be probably great, Steve, in terms of if your knickers do get ruffled at any point this year, you know, drop into a downward dog and all of your worries will vaporize.
Really? This sounds very interesting. Yeah, I'll look into that. I have no idea what you're talking about, but downward dog to sort out my knickers.
Yeah, excellent. There we go. One more to go. Putnam got us onto yoga. Where will this one take us?
This would take us to Davis Thompson, 75-1, about last year's unlucky runner-up. You must remember last year's Amex. You know, the youngster Thompson,
yes, I do,
in a duel with John Rahm for the title. You know, Thompson's long birdie part of the 17th hole, the 71st hole of the golf tournament, clanked into the flagstick. He left the flagstick in. It clanked into the flagstick. It probably would have dropped at the flag not being in. Rahm beaten by a shot. You know, tears were shed by Davis, understandably, afterwards. Thompson gets a chance to go one better this week. You obviously know John Rahm to worry about. Yeah, Thompson, a former world number one amateur, PGA Tour glory, extremely likely at some stage. You know, and after that bright Amex debut last year, you know, this seems a golden opportunity. He was 57th in the Sony last week, and that was a good recovery. Open with a 73, Christmas rust, closed with a 67. Yeah, I expect a much better four-round performance from him. He's a 24-year-old going places.
I'm not taking anything away from Mr. Thompson, but I'm pretty sure in 9 out of 10 sweet spot episodes, there's someone who's been a former world number one amateur. It just seems that every other player has been it.
it's true. I suppose maybe I've got an obsession with former world number one amateurs. But yeah, these days, it's not easy to get that status. Okay, you know, to get that status these days, there's so many good ones out there. But you're right. Yeah, I do seem to have a thing about it. But he's going to win titles. Yeah, how many of those former How many of those former world number one amateurs go on to success? A lot of them, I'd say, these days. Yeah, no one's mocking Ludwig Auber.
Certainly not, Steve. No, I know we mentioned it last week. I am still incredibly impressed with your knowledge of golfers' lives outside of the golf course. I mean, that Laurie Cantor's fact about his home improvements in Bath will stay with me this week.
Yeah, and Andrew Putnam's wife doing a bit of yoga on the sidelines while she's watching this week. Yeah, Andrew Putnam's living the dream. I think a second tour time maybe coming on Sunday.
Good, there we go. We shall round up our selections. We shall start in the Dubai Desert Classic Series so people can jot them down on their pieces of paper.
We certainly shall, but I think it'd be remiss of us to not mention the world number one. I'll just give a brief mention of Scotty Scheffler, because Scheffler fans will get angry and probably cancel us if we don't if we don't mention him. Do you remember we were talking about the century does not a summer make? You know, we were wondering whether he's going to putt as well as he did in the Hero World Challenge. Well, we got our answer. There was no swallow at the century. He was 45th in the putting stats in a 59 runner event. So, we're talking about the need to putt well this week in the Amex, glorified putting competition. I can live without Scheffler at the short odds this week. So, sorry, I had to ruin the flow there, but I just thought we had better mention because he's getting backed again. Yeah, Scheffler fans there's so many Scheffler fans out there. Rightly so. I think he's 11-2 best now.
Okay, Scotty Scheffler fans, there you go. Don't cancel us. We shall recap. Dubai Desert Classic, Steve. Three picks in that.
Nicolai Hogger, Laurie Cantor, Richard Mansell.
And in the American Express.
Sungjae Im, Eric Cole, JT Poston, Andrew Putnam, Davis Thompson.
You spent your Sunday evening in the local snooker club. Steve, any fun ahead this week?
I did. I enjoyed watching Ronnie O'Sullivan win an
eight. You've had a good couple of weeks in pub sport betting, haven't you? With Cool Hand Luke and Ronnie O'Sullivan.
That's it. I watched the darts in the snooker club as well. I feel good about snooker. My son is got a real passion for Q Sports now. He still loves his golf, but Tommy Tiger, when it's cold outside, he'd rather go and on the green bays than the green fairways. You know, it's a bit cold for golf. I don't know how you feel about winter golf, but for me, I'm quite happy to get on the pool table with him. And that's probably what I'll be doing most of this weekend, just playing pool with my son. I mean, you mentioned the darts. Like Luke Littler's dad has just set the example there of what to do with your son. If you spend all day with your son in the pub, they might become a dart superstar or a pool superstar. So, if that's what I got to do to create the next Ronnie O'Sullivan, spend all day in the pub playing pool with my son, then that's what I shall do. It's a tough job, but someone's got to do.
I think you're probably pre Luke Littler, such behaviour would have got a call to social services, but now it's seen as the best thing for your young children, isn't it?
It's a great result for dads everywhere, isn't it? Yeah, I'm just trying to get him to become a good sportsman.
There we go, Steve. Thanks very much. What have we got to look forward to next? We've got the Farmers Insurance and the Ras Al Khaimah, have we?
We surely have. We need a winner, and we're going to get it this week.
Great stuff, Steve Palmer. Thank you very much. Thanks to everyone at home for tuning into the Sweet Spot once more. If you're backing Steve's tips, please remember to do so responsibly. We'll see you again next Tuesday for another episode of the Sweet Spot.